I may completely disagree with what you say, but I will defend to my death the right for you to say it. And that's what we should be saying as vegans, for sure, or as anyone, as citizens. I may not agree with what you're saying, but I defend to the death your right to say it.
Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring interviews, music, news, and events on the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a world of egalitarianism, sustainability, peace, and health for all. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony, and other books as well, and training sessions and much more. A true leader in the vegan movement of justice and peace and egalitarianism, health, and sustainability. Joining us via Skype in Northern California.
Thank you, Marlene. I'm delighted to be able to join you, and thanks everyone for listening in. It's great to be here.
Well, this is very exciting, especially at this time of year in September, to be speaking with you because of September 21st being well known as the International Day of Peace. And we are here as the vegan movement for the Global Day of Peace. And you being the author of The World Peace Diet, this is awesome. Thank you, Dr. Tuttle.
Right. Yeah, we have to get to the root of the problems. If we really want to have peace on this earth, we need to make peace with nature, with animals especially, before we can make peace with each other.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. Another thing I like about the World Peace Diet, and also Food for Freedom, your new book coming out, is the intersectionality in the interconnectedness of everything. And so that we see, like you're talking about, the violence in the war against the animals is now boomeranging back to humanity and all the injustice and the massive, when I think about the injustice where there's multi-billionaires ruling everything, or the multi-trillionaire military industries, and to think about that with a million in relation to time, a million seconds is 12 days, a billion seconds is 32 years. And to think that these people, Gates and all of them, and Bezos and, you know, the crew, are running the show. And when I think of all the people and animals struggling in sanctuaries to survive, or people struggling to survive, and it's just so heartbreaking to think that all this money is going into more military weapons and chemicals and geoengineering. When I look up in the sky still, since our last interview, the skies are filled with the chemtrails. And now, twice now in the evening sky, I have seen the Starlink. And from what I understand, that's the apparatus being set up for the Internet of Bodies, Internet of Things, to start hooking up the transhumanist agenda. So it's shocking to me, and yet I never hear anybody talking about it in the, you know, day-to-day life or in the news. Can you talk a little bit about that, please?
Right. Well, that's a very important point, Marlene. And the reason you don't hear anybody talking about it is they don't want anyone to talk about that. They want to have that just quietly unfolding in the background. And they want us all preoccupied with dramas that really are based on fear and separation and divisiveness. But we have to understand that, like during the lockdowns a couple of years ago, suddenly all these 5G towers sprang up everywhere like flowers after the rain, but they're not flowers. I mean, they're really toxic. They're putting out radiation that's harmful. And the Starlink that you see in the sky, there's thousands and thousands of these satellites that are bathing the entire planet now with 5G radiation, which is being put into place. It's the word, there's a word, panopticon. A panopticon is a prison where one person or a small group of people can view thousands, that no one can escape their view. And that's what's being set up. I mean, it's pretty obvious. You, this kind of high-tech ability to survey a population continually, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, through various methods. I mean, we have you mentioned the Internet of Bodies. You know, that's essentially the idea, is that people have already, it's being used. I mean, people who have a pacemaker in their heart or whatever, it can be connected up to the internet, and then the doctor can know if something changed, and then they can give them a drug or whatever. The idea is to connect up our bodies. People who have a disease, they always start it that way, you know, like it's like we call it the tiptoe tactic. And you start it with elderly people. All elderly people should get microchipped, so if they wander off, you know where they are. And people are volunteering for these things, to have microchips inserted into their bodies so they can be tracked, or the information is stored on them. And I don't know if listeners are aware of this, but if you just listen to the World Economic Forum, which is an amazing, tremendously powerful organization. I mean, it's the ones who really, in many ways, proudly. I mean, Klaus Schwab, the founder of the Economic Forum, he's proudly proclaims how the people that have come through their global leaders training are the ones who are now running countries and states, like Gavin Newsom and Angela Merkel and all these people that are in positions of power, both in the media as well as government and corporations and everywhere. And there's an agenda behind that, like you're saying, and it's an agenda of control. And it's also an agenda of transhumanism, which we see that with a transsexual movement all of a sudden coming out of nowhere. Everybody thinks, you know, and it's going right into our children. You know, children are being attacked by the pharmaceutical industry. There's millions of dollars to be made. Of course, you get somebody who, you know, changes their gender, they're going to be getting all kinds of operations and hormones for the rest of their lives. I mean, huge amounts of money is going into this. But even more, it shatters the fabric of society. It tears families apart. It divides people. That's what you want to do. If you want to control people, if you want to create tyranny, you want to attack the very foundation of society. You go for the children, you go for the families, and you go for the biology. And so that's what they're doing. And the transhumanist agenda, the transsexual agenda, it's part of a larger agenda of bringing a more robotic kind of a world, where you don't need so many people, right? And that's the main thing they talk about. Like, we don't need so many people. So there's a depopulation agenda, but the depopulation agenda and the transhumanist agenda together are to create a situation on this earth of it's culling the herd and then completely controlling the herd. And of course, if we're going to insist on doing that to animals, it's going to happen to us. We need to understand that. We shouldn't be surprised. I mean, I've been saying this for 30 years. You know, if we're going to insist on force medicating millions of animals every day, what's going to keep that from happening to us? If we're going to create panopticons, like, you know, we can have one or two people can basically control 10,000 chickens in one barn, right? This one person can kind of like make sure they're getting fed and watch over them and survey them. We get the same thing. These 15-minute cities, you'll have a few people, a few technocrats can rule over thousands of people who are obediently going along and complying and doing what they're told and programmed and getting. And then the transhumanism, I mean, you start implanting chips. They're already talking about it. They're not hiding anything. Klaus Schwab has said very clearly in his book, The Great Reset, just read it. He says very clearly that we will have implantable devices that can be used not only to know what you're thinking, but to control what you're thinking. I mean, the military has been working for a long time on these kinds of things. I mean, if you look at the various programs from the CIA, for example, like some of these projects like MKUltra, where they worked a lot with drugs and with all kinds of, I won't talk about it because it's terrible really to even think about, but, you know, it's extreme torture of human beings to create multiple personalities and then control the different personalities and have them do things that the other dimensions of the personality didn't even know was happening, and using those people to then do different jobs that had to be done, including assassinations and so forth. I mean, all these things, they've been doing this since the 1950s. It's well documented. This is nothing new. This has even come out in U.S. Congress and so forth. So It's all been documented, but the problem is most people are not aware, don't connect the dots, don't see that the transhumanist agenda has been building for a long time. And the idea is that's underlying everything is that humanity is some kind of a cancer. You know, human beings are something wrong with us, something bad. We're not good. We're bad for the earth. We should never think that. We are beautiful and we're creative and we're compassionate and we have at our core, we have love and we desire the best for each other. That's what we have to really remember and have kindness and compassion for each other and for animals and stand up for the children and for the freedom and don't believe the very cleverly worded messaging that's coming through that, oh, it's because of us that the climate is changing and we have to all completely lock down now. No, that's not the thing. All we need to do is stop eating animal food, stop stabbing animals, stop paying for violence towards animals, and we can feed everyone, even according to very conservative sources like Oxford University. 3/4 of the land that we're right now enslaving to agriculture and with monocropping and pesticide, herbicide, and fungicides to grow huge amounts of corn and soy and alfalfa and oats and wheat and rye and all this, we could allow to go back to forest and prairie and just be wilderness again and be habitat for wildlife. We could feed everyone on a fraction of the land if people eat a plant-based diet. That right there would completely eliminate most of the herbicide, pesticide, fungicide that's being sprayed. It would really massively reduce the amount of petroleum that we need and the chemical fertilizers that we need. We should go organic, plant-based eating. That's really the foundation of everything. Then we would come back into harmony with not only with our food, but with nature, with animals, and we'd begin to open up our hearts and feel the love that is always inside of us. And realize that what we are is eternal life. We have a body for a few years, but we're the eternal life that makes this body possible. And the same thing is true for every human being we ever see, and it's also true for every animal we ever see. There's one life living through all of us. And when we understand that, we have a sense of love and kindness, but we also have a sense of sovereignty, that we have a precious life and we have freedom, and we grant that freedom to others. We don't try to steal that from them. We don't confine them. We don't enslave them. We don't abuse and dominate and exploit them. Because if we do that, it's going to happen to us. We sow the seeds for the same thing to happen to us. And so the best way to enslave people is to have them enslave each other or to enslave animals. And that's what's been happening. And we see it with the transhumanist agenda to take away our humanity. You know, basically to more and more infiltrate our bodies with chips and with graphene oxide, which many people say are in the vaccines that can be activated by 5G. I mean, this could be true. I'm not a scientist sophisticated enough to know, but there are sophisticated scientists who are saying that the graphene oxide is in many of these injections, and it's a self-assembling nanoparticles that are very sensitive to cell phone vibrations and to the radiative fields that come from the towers, and that we could be controlled and manipulated that way. So it's really important for us to wake up and see that the technocracy and this idea of a high-tech future as some kind of a positive future is a lie. I mean, that's a very important thing to understand. Somehow in our society, we have this idea that science will save us, that science will come up with technology that'll make us happier and more comfortable. We have to forget that idea. Look at cows and pigs and chickens. Has science helped them? Has science made them happier and more comfortable? No, it's made them even worse, more brutally exploited. Now they're genetically engineered, they're dumbed down, they have nothing left.
We're listening to Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet. You tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Tuttle. back from the break. Thank you very much for listening to Vegan Nation. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of the station nor its management. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. We're joined by Dr. Will Tuttle in Northern California. We're listening to his song, Chicken Song. We're discussing a vegan initiative for global peace, human freedom, and animal liberation.
Right, yeah, we have to get to the root of the problems. If we really want to have peace on this earth, we need to make peace with nature, with animals especially, before we can make peace with each other. Pythagoras taught 2,500 years ago, and we don't teach that Pythagorean theorem that he really emphasized, which is that as long as men, he said, as long as men kill animals, they will kill each other. We will always have war. And so this is something I think that most people still don't understand. And it's understandable because governments don't talk about it. The media doesn't talk about it. Corporations don't talk about it. For sure, the healthcare industry does never talk about it because you get profits from sick people. You get profits from war. And there's a lot of profit in environmental devastation. But if we, the people, want to have health and freedom and peace and harmony and sustainability, then we have to question these official stories that are coming from the mainstream media and also coming from the United Nations. Ironically, the United Nations in many ways is one of the most harmful organizations on planet Earth in terms of destroying any hopes that we have for harmony with each other or with nature or with animals. And yet still most people think of the United Nations as being this essentially sort of benevolent organization that's here to help humanity have peace. And people don't realize that it was founded really by the Rockefellers and other super rich ruling class, you know, plutocrats that wanted a way to consolidate power in the hands of just a tiny minority. And so the United Nations is a way to do that. And so we have to be, you know, get more savvy. I think that's the main problem really we have today, is that most people don't seem to realize that they're being targeted. And the problem is, of course, that we're targeting animals. Right? I mean, the average person walks into the store and takes out their wallet and pays for the flesh and secretions of horribly abused, killed animals, and isn't doing it in a malevolent way. It's just doing it because they have the power and they want to do it and they think it tastes good. And we have to understand that, quite honestly, there is a tiny number of human beings who basically look at humanity the same way and are exploiting us the way we exploit these animals. And they only can do it because we don't seem to understand what's happening. And we go along and allow ourselves to be enslaved to disease and to fear and to economic institutions that are taking away more and more of our, not only our wealth and our economic viability, but our freedom and the freedom of our children, our health freedom, and many other things. And I think people are waking up to that. The political situation has gotten to the point where the media is not telling us the truth about these things. So that's the key, I think, Marlene, is to first of all understand that our violence towards animals is boomeranging back right at us, and our war against them, which they understand. If you were a cow or a pig or a chicken, I would not have to explain to you that there's a war against them by humans. And they're getting slaughtered at a very young age as children in human terms by the millions every day. But we don't seem to realize there's also a war against us and our freedom that's developing and increasing every day. And we have to become more savvy. And really, I think the solution is to give compassion to animals and to ecosystems and to future generations and to ourselves and to each other, and stop the war against nature and animals. So we can go more into this if you like, but that's the overall thing that comes to my mind when I think about this World Day of Peace that's being proclaimed by the United Nations. And we have to understand that we have a long way to go before we have world peace. If we're going to eat animal foods, we'll never get there, because it's an absolute war against other life forms, and it not only harms them, but it destroys our psychology in terms of actually being able to have peace, because the underlying idea and template really of animal agriculture is this domination of the weak by the strong. That's what it is. It's injustice. It's might makes right. It's the domination of the sacred feminine dimension of life. It's reducing our ability to make connections and reducing our actual intelligence. I mean, it's a whole way of being in the world that celebrates death and destruction in a very, quite honestly, satanic way, in the sense that Satanism is the idea that I can have what I want and I can cause suffering to others to get it. Well, that's what we do to animals. I think bacon tastes good, so I'm going to kill another animal because I like it. And we don't think about the terrible suffering it causes, not only to the animals, but to people who are going hungry because we feed so much grain to these animals to fatten them up, and the devastation to ecosystems from all of the glyphosate and atrazine and other toxic chemicals that are sprayed everywhere on these crops. And so the whole idea really, I think, is to have a bigger picture, develop a more inclusive and compassionate and kind and loving and caring way of living our short lives on this earth, and question the official narratives that are coming out of the mainstream media. I'm so grateful for you, Marlene, for really persevering in shining the light of wisdom and truth through Vegan Nation. So thank you for that. And thanks, everyone, if you're still listening after I said all this.
Thank you, Will. Thank you very much. Yes, and what I like about the practice and the philosophy of the World Peace Diet is that it's very comprehensive and very much understanding. Like you've just said, we've all just been born into this, so it's not pointing a finger at anyone, just saying, hey, let's really think fully and consciously about what's going on and not be deceived by the trickery. And so could you please talk a little bit about that of toxic gullibility?
Right. Well, that's the thing, you know, it's we're being deceived. And you said it exactly right. It's not blaming anyone. I mean, we're all caught in a net of historical consequences, where 10,000 years ago, our ancestors started to herd animals, wild sheep, then wild goats, wild cows, started to own them as property for food. And we think of that as something sort of normal and natural, but it's not. I mean, we lived for millions of years before we ever started doing that. It's a relatively recent phenomenon. And so the whole thing, really, it's interesting. It's really based on terrible violence, sexual violence and physical violence, enslaving other living beings, doing to them what we would never want to have done to ourselves, breaking the golden rule on a massive scale, and shutting down our natural sense of kindness and caring for other beings. And so that requires us psychologically to rationalize and justify this somehow. We say, well, we need the protein, or well, we're offering these to God, like we make the sacrifices. We had the priests do that for thousands of years until science came along and said, well, there is no God. There was a big bang, and now it's all just random mutation of genes and so forth. Which is a completely absurd thing, but it comes out of the materialism, really, that animal agriculture requires, because the underlying idea is that we don't want to take responsibility for this kind of terrible violence and irrational behavior to waste so much grain and food on animals and then kill them. It's irrational, it's anti-rational, it's anti-compassion, anti-empathy, anti-intuition. It's all of these things. And so we have to find some way to justify it and to avoid accountability. That's the key. It's avoid accountability. We don't want to be accountable for what we're doing. Oh, my doctor said, or my parents raised me this way, or this is, you know, because if we think about what we're actually doing when we're eating these foods that are filled with violence and misery and toxicity, we need to shift the blame. And so, as I point out in the World Peace Diet, we created corporations. You know, what are corporations? Corporations are legal ways of avoiding accountability, for individuals to avoid accountability. So they can create a corporation, and if the corporation does something really terrible, like poisons and kills hundreds of people, well, you sue the corporation. And the executives who made the decisions, they don't have any accountability, and they're not financially accountable either. You sue the corporation, you don't sue them. So we have created elaborate ways to avoid accountability in legal terms, and then we've done the same thing spiritually and religiously. Sort of putting things off on the deity, or perhaps through science, we put it off onto nature, and we have this doctrine of social Darwinism that the strong dominate and exploit the weak. We call it survival of the fittest, and that the rich people in the world who control the resources and who are running everything, well, they must be smarter than us. They must have better genetics. We better do whatever they say. So we allow these people who have gotten so much power and control over the media and over the governments to make the decisions. And they have set up the United Nations and the World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization, and they run these large government agencies like the Department of Health and Human Services, the CDC, the FDA, I mean, virtually all governmental agencies have been captured by the money of these gigantic corporations and financial institutions and the so-called philanthropic organizations like the Rockefeller Foundation and the Gates Foundation, the Bloomberg Foundation, the Wellcome Trust. I mean, these are all so-called philanthropic organizations that keep getting more and more wealthy because they make investments in the pharmaceutical industry and in the chemical industry and in the petroleum industry and in the so-called green energy industry, which is terribly environmentally devastating. And we have to understand that these people are about making money and concentrating power.
The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management.
I may completely disagree with what you say, but I will defend to my death the right for you to say it.
We're listening to Dr. Will Tuttle. Please join us again next week for part two. I'd like to thank all the listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. Again at vegansradio.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. This is Marlene wishing you a good day.